Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live. And we have quite a panel who have joined us this week. We're here tonight to talk all about audio editing. And before we introduce all of our panel of experts, let me warmly welcome to the show Daryl Shandro. Hello, Daryl.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. How you doing?
All right. Getting got everyone together here. And
excellent, excellent.
Getting ready for an exciting chat about audio editing software.
Absolutely. Why don't we go ahead and give everybody contact information first? Do you want to go ahead and start with that?
Absolutely. If you'd like to reach us by phone, you can do that by calling 866-400-5333. Again, that's 866-400-5333. 400-5333. If you'd like to catch the show notes of resources that are being discussed while the show is underway, you can check us out on Twitter. That is twitter.com, twitter.com/mainmenu, or you may visit the blog at mainmenu.acbradio.org. If you'd like to get a hold of us on MSN Windows Live Messenger this evening, add the address mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org.
All right, great. And before we bring in the panel, let's hear from Jamie Pauls, who is actually here with us too. Hey, how strange is that? In two places at once.
How about that?
Yeah, you're in two places at once. How strange. Anyway, he would like to talk to us.
I've always wanted to be able to do that.
I know. It would be a lot of fun to do that, absolutely. But he has an exciting website he wants to tell us all about, JawsUsers.com.
This week's AccessWatch review features yet another website. JawsUsers.com is a place where you can go to subscribe to an email list dealing with all things JAWS-related. But the website offers a lot more than that. You can access programs that work with JAWS, as well as scripts for JAWS. The really nice thing about the site is that the reference to the different programs on the site also indicate whether or not there are scripts associated with those programs. Screen readers are complex things these days, and the opportunity to make the most of any screen reader is very important. The JAWS users website is a great way to do that. And I've also seen posts from Freedom Scientific staff on the mailing list. Go to www.jaws-users.com. You can visit us at www.accesswatch.info. We have recently changed web hosts, and I believe that the site is much more responsive than it has been in the past. Don't forget to check out our blog at http://accesswatch.wordpress.com. Have a great week.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. To participate in the show, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Absolutely. And as we said before, we have quite a panel here tonight. And let's start by Skype allows you to have up to 10. I think it's either 9 or 10. I'm not sure. I think
it's 10.
Is it 10?
It's a total of 10.
Is it 10 now? I'd heard rumor of 9 or 10. I'm not sure. But hey, it got everybody here anyway. Let's see. We have, of course, Jamie, who we heard from already from Access Watch. Good evening, Jamie.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here again.
Thank you for coming, especially at such late notice. And Rick Harmon, we often have him here on our panel of experts. Good evening, Rick.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Well, doing great. And it, from reading your IMs and watching your status, it looks like you've gone through yet another Vista install, huh?
Yes, I have.
Not sure that was a happy experience, but...
Not exactly.
Oh, well. Tonight, I'd like to warmly welcome Dean Martineau. Hello, Dean. How's it going?
Well, I was around for the first hour, I guess. I guess it's only fitting I should be around for the second, so thanks for the invitation.
Oh, absolutely, and many of our listeners will know of you through Top Tech Tidbits. Say that 10 times fast, and I want to first personally thank you for the wonderful resource that is, and you do a great job putting that together, and you've been doing it seems like forever, and it's really commendable of you to do that. We really, really appreciate it. And let's see, we have, did Steve join us? Daryl?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, very good, very good. And Steve Bauer from ACB Radio Interactive fame and other places unknown has joined us. And tonight, have I missed someone?
Tim,
yes, Tim. Jeez. how could I forget Tim? Hey, Tim, how's it going? He's, of course,
Hey, Jeff, it's going great.
Good, good. He's, of course, the producer of Cooking in the Dark and other things that appear on ACB Radio Mainstream. And sorry about that, Tim. I'm trying to keep everybody straight here. And tonight we're going to talk a lot about audio editing. And Tim actually suggested this topic, and mainly because, you know, there's a lot of alternatives out there now. And we wanted to mainly focus on SoundForge, Total Recorder a little bit, and Goldwave. And we'll also bring up a couple of other little odds and ends here. There's a new product that's going to be soon released that Daryl's going to talk to us a little bit about called Levelator. Pretty exciting little tool. And then we'll also bring up Audacity as well. We tried to actually get someone on from the Audacity team, and it was a little difficult, especially with UK Times and all of that. So I thought what we would do is go around the table here a little bit and have each one of you give your experience with whatever sound editing or audio editing program that you're using. And I'll start, and I'm using, well, I use a I use a combination of things, but I primarily use SoundForge. And the main reason that I use SoundForge is because of, and it's really no reason between SoundForge or Goldwave, really, except that that I've gotten used to, of course, Windows editing keys and things to be able to manipulate the audio. And that's primarily one of the main reasons that I do it. Plus, I do like the noise reduction plugin that ships with SoundForge 9 now. And for those of you who have 8 and earlier, you can buy that. It is pretty expensive. I'm not sure, actually. Daryl, do you know if they still offer that on the website?
I think that SoundForge 9?
No, the noise reduction plugin for
the
those
noise
that
reduction.
Have...
I believe it's still available separately, but it's quite a bit more expensive.
Yeah,
than,
it's what $200-$300. So
yeah,
it's really, really good though. if you have the bucks to do it. All right, let's go ahead and start with Dean, and then we'll have Tim go next, and then we'll take it from there. Go ahead, Dean.
I've used, I got SoundForge. A lot of us, I think there was a good deal on SoundForge several years ago, and a number of us jumped on it at that time. So I bought that and bought the Snowbarger scripts, which makes SoundForge really very usable with JAWS. I had already bought Goldwave before that. As time has gone by, I've just kind of stuck with Goldwave because each time, if you know, when the reinstalls and the upgrades happen, you've got to then get the scripts to work. And Goldwave, you just kind of put it on there and it works. It's not as handy. However, of late, Goldwave, which is cheaper than SoundForge by a good distance, has gone through some significant accessibility improvements. You can now, you know, for example, as you're moving back and forth through the file, getting ready to select a piece of sound to do something with, you don't get to use standard Windows keystrokes, which I wish you could, but you can easily, everybody can, hear the sound. You know, they call it scrubbing through the files. And there's some other accessibility improvements that have been put in there. So I'm coming to like it more. I don't know that the effects are as high a quality as some of those in SoundForge. If you can get the noise reduction plug-in, however, you'd be able to use it in GoldWave. So that's just kind of what I'm doing. I think I was put on here to use Total Recorder. I don't do much editing with Total Recorder. I used to do all kinds of recording off the radio with Total Recorder. I'm now switching to Replay AV because one of these days I'm going to end up at Vista, and Total Recorder has some limitations with Vista.
Okay, good. We'll get to that in a minute, Dean, when we get to specifics about each. But thank you very much. Okay, Tim, and I know where you like as far as audio
okay.
editing. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Let me just make one statement before I say anything here, because I know we're going to get calls from people tonight who say, you know, GoldWave rules, SoundForge rules, and I prefer GoldWave. I've used both programs, but I've used GoldWave the longest, and like you, I'm Jeff. I'm like you're used to SoundForge. I'm used to GoldWave. But my kind of point of view on this is that, you know, whatever editor works for you. If you're a good audio editor, then if somebody listens to the final product, they really can't tell what program you're using. So, you know, aside from the accessibility issues, I started out with GoldWave. I think 4.10 or 4.12, and like Dean, I bought the SoundForge, I think it was 5 or whatever when it came out, or 4.5 or something. It was a good deal. And I just never got used to the navigation in SoundForge. Everyone, you know, I used to have these discussions with Jonathan Mosen all the time. Everyone raved about, oh, how easy it was, and I just never got used to it. And I went back to GoldWave, and I've been very pleased with it. And in terms of the plugins, I would agree with Dean that some of the GoldWave plugins aren't as good, but GoldWave also does take DirectX plugins, and there are some quite good DirectX effects that you can get that work with GoldWave, but that work very well. So I'm very happy with it, and I'm very happy with Chris Craig's new accessibility features that he's put in. I think he's really, I don't know what prompted him to do it, but I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, good. Okay. All right, Rick, your turn.
Well, you know what I use? GoldWave.
Oh, okay. Now, I thought you were actually using SoundForge for a while there.
No.
No, you weren't.
No,
okay.
I used
okay.
GoldWave.
Okay.
I have just recently purchased SoundForge Audio Studio 8 and 9, which is the little brother of SoundForge.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's pretty much a scaled-down version of it, so... Do you know what's missing?
It doesn't have all the presets, I think. Excuse me for jumping
That's
in.
That's okay.
I don't think it has all the presets that the big SoundForge has, but I think it's got most of the effects, and it doesn't have the noise reduction, I don't think.
Right. Okay. And
it only costs about $70.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
It's about...
Well, believe me, listen, I got my copy of SoundForge really cheap from one of the blindness mailing lists, or else I wouldn't have owned it. and I upgraded to 9 for $99, and I'm sort of sorry that I did, to be perfectly honest. But we'll get to that. So now, Rick, are you using the new version with the new accessibility features?
I haven't downloaded 5.22 yet. I'm still using 5.20. I plan to download that here real quick.
You'll like it. You'll like it. It's really neat. We'll get Tim.
I have a nice announcement.
Do you?
It just so happens that Jim Grimsby Jr.
Oh yes,
who does the GoldWave scripts?
Yeah,
he just sent me up a new set of scripts tonight.
Oh great! Okay,
so
we might want
those
you
yet.
To
haven't posted them, but
okay. You might want to. I don't know if you can with the way you have things configured there, but you might want to unzip it and see what might be new there. That might be kind of interesting. All right, let's see. Let's go with Steve next.
Well, I guess I'm the odd guy out because so far I am using from APH Studio Recorder, and there are three areas that I use this program in. One is the ACB radio recordings and editing that I do for all of my ACB radio projects. I use it in my employment for editing and handling all the audio production for music on hold, audio prompts for various systems, and I also do the voice on our automated banking line where people call in to get their balance over the telephone. And I use Studio Recorder to handle all of the processing for those files and to get them into the appropriate file, shall we say, configuration, audio sampling rates, and so on. Thirdly, I use it in the telephone reader. I'm president of a nonprofit group. We operate a telephone reader project. And this is probably the least used area. I thought it would be a highly used area, but it has not been, but we still use it some. What I want to go ahead and at least mention this fact. What I had hoped was that I could move some of my volunteer readers into using Studio Recorder, doing their recordings, and then sending me the files, and I could clean them up and then put them on our system. But sadly, much to my great disappointment, APH flat refused a site license option, and we could not afford to purchase a full copy of Studio Recorder for each of our volunteer readers. So because of their unwillingness to do a site license, the program is not being used in the area that I thought it would be most used for, because it was originally designed for persons that were recording talking books. So Studio Recorder is what I use, and so far it's getting me where I need. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles of SoundForge and Goldwave, but it's allowing me to do quite a few things, and I think I've amazed some people at what I've been able to accomplish.
I was just going to say that some of your promos that we hear on both mainstream and on interactive are, I don't know, for not having as many effects, you do a darn good job, especially with, you know, some of the multi-voice layovers and, you know, stuff like that that you've done. But you're not the only odd man out, Steve. And that brings us to Jamie. Take it away, Jamie.
That's exactly right. Well, I also use Studio Recorder. As earlier comments have been made, I have used SoundForge, and I've purchased Jim Snowberger's scripts. And, SoundForge, I think it is tough to use also. I mean, I'm sure that once you do it and get used to it, you know, it's like any other program. You can learn how to do it and do it quite well. But even with the scripts, which make it much, much better to use with JAWS, I still found it difficult. And so when I switched to Studio Recorder, I was just amazed at how simple that program is to use from an accessibility standpoint. Obviously, produced by APH, it's, has accessibility built in. And I thought that because I was not a broadcaster and was not doing the really complicated stuff, that was the reason I was able to be as happy with Studio Recorder as I am. But listening to Steve, I find that quite interesting, actually, quite enlightening.
Yeah, very good. And Daryl, I know you're using SoundForge, right?
I am. I'm using SoundForge. I've been using it for a long time, since, I believe, 5.0. And it works well, especially it works well with Jim Snowbarger's scripts. However, as we've already said, it seems with each new release of SoundForge, there are changes being made under the hood, and it's becoming a little bit less and less accessible, and in some areas performance doesn't seem quite as snappy either in general, besides the accessibility factor. And I'm actually considering checking out Goldwave 5.22.
One of the things that I've really found with the new SoundForge, and I don't know if any of you have tried version 9 or not, I know you have, Daryl, is that a lot of the sliders and a lot of the presets don't work as they used to because of new settings. And some of those settings are not accessible in the dialogue, and especially for, you know, like doing mixes and things like that. So I'm not
There's
really.
There's a fix for that. If you go to snowmanradio.com, he wrote a page of his experiences trying to write scripts for SoundForge 9, and I know after you installed SoundForge 9. it tended to mess up some of the settings, some of the sliders for SoundForge 8. And he explains how to fix that.
I'll check. I'm not sure. Okay. Well, I won't make any statements to that because I don't know either. But one of the things I know is, for example, the fast duckout preset in SoundForge, which allows you to mix and have the music fade, and you can adjust the volume that the music is playing at, you know, versus the voice. And you don't seem to be able to get as good of a fade with, well, at least not being able to adjust all of its settings, and it's really kind of annoying. Let's see. Do you have any MSN messages?
I really don't right now.
Okay, good. I just wanted. I know we have two email messages that came in prior to the show, and one was from Beth. And she had a question.
Yes.
Do you have that there?
All right. So Beth asks, is Studio Recorder self-voicing? And I think we know the answers to this, but Steve, you may want to take this.
Yeah, Steve or Jamie.
Is Studio Recorder self-voicing? And if it is, how does that work in conjunction with a screen reader?
Well, you use your screen reader to understand what is going on with Studio Recorder.
Right.
For example, if you want to know the audio level that you have recorded something at, that is playing back at, whatever, you press the A and you hear that information spoken to you. If you want to know how long your recording is, or maybe how far you are into a recording, you press the S for the status and it speaks that information to you. So there is no speech product built into Studio Recorder. You use whatever screen reader you're using to provide you with feedback from the program itself.
All right, we have a caller that has joined us here. Let me bring them on. And he had just called in as you were finishing up, Steve, so sorry for the delay. But Jesse has joined us. Hello, Jesse. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How's hey, not bad. Now you're on the Mac, so this brings up a very interesting question.
Well, you were talking earlier about odd guys and different editing programs that they're using.
Yeah, well, you're very much an odd guy there, Jesse.
I'm using a very interesting program called Sound Studio.
Okay.
For the Mac.
Okay.
Which is basically, how can I put it? It's basically a combination of Goldwave and SoundForge.
Okay.
And from what little I've used it, it is really, basically, it just works.
Okay, so there's not
everything
really...
From what I've used, everything mm-hmm. is totally accessible.
Now, what about being able to check whether you're over-modulating and what your audio levels are and things like that while you're recording? Is that
there are ways of looking at that because fortunately, if you can do it just right, you're able to go up to the VU meters or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
Providing you had headphones on, hint,
sure.
hint.
Yes, exactly.
And you actually hear voiceover very quickly changing the percentage.
Okay.
But like I said, when Leopard comes out, it is going to be a heck of a lot better.
Yes, well.
You can do a lot more things with it.
Are you using Leopard already?
I guess I can let the cat out of the bag. I am a beta tester.
Okay, well, good. Because
Leopard.
All right.
That's all that
well,
I can say.
That's fine. That's fine. Jesse, we'll be in touch with you tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep your calendar open for next week, why don't you?
Sure, as long as it's after 10 o'clock my time. Everything's all right.
All right. All right. I will Skype you tomorrow night, and we shall chat.
Sure.
All right. That's good, sure. Because we definitely wanted to get some coverage on that, so we're looking forward to that. So.
Sure, and hopefully it should be out...
On Friday, my friend.
Saying 26th.
Friday, that's right.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, I haven't heard anything else, so...
Oh, no, it's coming out. Oh, it's coming out. Believe me, Apple would... people would burn down the Apple buildings if it came out late.
Yeah, but anyway...
You know, you Macintosh people are really... you guys are... You guys... You know, you're not. You wouldn't tolerate something being late from Apple.
Not really, but you know, I mean, what can I say? I mean, we're, I guess, one of a kind. I mean, like I said, I am still planning on installing Windows on my Mac.
Okay, good.
So yes, I am. I am still faithful to Windows, especially XP.
Yeah, but, I've heard very interesting stories with Vista on the Mac. So.
I'd be interested to hear some of those. But anyway.
All right. Well, Jesse.
But anyways, no, I just wanted to tell you guys what I was using since you guys were over there discussing about
great.
Different editors. I'm like, oh, let me just jump in here, even if it's not on Skype.
Not a problem.
I'll jump in here and say what I was using.
Okay, good.
All right.
Well,
guys,
we'll get with you later in the week, and thanks for joining us tonight.
All right. See
okay.
you later,
we'll
guys.
See ya. There goes.
Have a nice night.
Good night.
Bye.
There goes Jesse, our Macintosh buddy. All things Apple for Jesse. All right, and
I have to say, I'm contemplating one of those Macs. I'm contemplating a laptop, and I'm wondering why not buy a Mac MacBook or whichever. Well, I got to research it more, but it sounds rather intriguing.
It does, and I've spoken to a number of people who are running XP on the Mac, and they say the experience is actually better on the Mac. Running XP than it is running XP on a Windows box. So go figure.
Oh.
Yeah. I got to get my hands on one and play with it. Unfortunately, I think my wife would kill me if I spent another, you know, $1,000 on technology. I've spent enough this year. Oh, boy. Now, before we leave the topic of I'm having a brain fade here. Of studio recorder, thank you. my brain went back into engagement. I wanted to make sure that people understood, and either Jamie or Steve, whichever one of you want to take this, does it support MP3 editing?
No, it does not at this point. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to save the MP3 to a WAV file, do your editing, and then save it back to MP3.
Okay. So
and unfortunately, you cannot do it. You cannot edit Windows Media files either. So.
Okay. So it's strictly a WAV editor.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah, because I haven't been kept up to date on. I don't know if there's been any updates to it in the past, you know, 3 to 6 months. I haven't seen much.
We're actually in beta right now again with some. Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Money Talks. Never mind.
Oh, you are. Well, that's interesting.
The other one that's having a engagement problem
nothing
there.
Nothing out there now.
No.
Nothing out there now.
Yeah. Oh. One other comment about feedback. There are some tones that it does when it saves a file. It plays a tone when the file is saved, and if you are recording something and you're too loud, it starts. Beeps come when you hit really high levels on your recording, so it does do a little bit of audio feedback for you automatically.
Something else you can do that's really kind of neat is if you are recording a file and it needs to be a certain length of time, you can actually set it to ding at you when you're approaching like 45 minutes or an hour or whatever you need, so that you'll know that your time is up.
Does Studio Recorder accept DirectX or VST plugins as of yet?
No, I don't believe it does. Right, Steve?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this program is phenomenal. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
It's got a significant amount of power, but it's not going to stand up and be a SoundForge. It's not going to do that.
Well, it's not, because it's not really been designed to do that. I mean, it was really designed, again, like you had said, Steve, for Talking Book Studios, right?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it was designed for, and it does a phenomenal job. And you can be some you can really be creative on your editing and get into for example, I edit the program called Tuesday Topics that airs on ACB Radio Mainstream as well. In fact, I just finished the recording of that here in the last few minutes, and I will dive into editing that tomorrow morning. And depending on what's going on, and depending on how the person is speaking, I've even gotten to the point where I can split edits between the middle of words and different syllables and actually come out with a product that sounds halfway decent.
That's great.
Yeah.
We have a caller from England. And Dave has a question. Hello, Dave. How's it going?
Hello, Jeff. Yeah, hello to you all. Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah. General question about just to show where I'm coming from. I, along with another friend of mine, edited a tape magazine for office workers for the visually impaired in England. And one of us is, I am using SoundForge, but I go over to his house, and he is mastering the copies on the master copy on using Goldwave.
Okay.
I think it's 5.2 or 4.0. I'm not quite sure which edition he's using, but one of the problems that we do have is when we're getting the magazine together, making sure that the magazine as a whole flows so that every article is played at the same level. So for example, you might record an article from me which might be a little above level, and then there might be a level from you that's a little below level. So it's just a general, if can have some general advice about how best to get used to getting your levels accurate.
Wow, Dave, Daryl. Dave, you are awesome. I couldn't have paid you enough to ask this question, because it's a great segue to something that Daryl would like to talk about. We'll let you listen on the air, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling in, Dave.
Cheers, Jeff.
All right. Wow.
All right. Well, there you go. Now, first of all, I will say that audio editors such as Goldwave and SoundForge do have normalization functions, and they also do allow you to select segments of audio and adjust their levels. So there very well are situations where doing that is probably going to give you the best, most fine-tuned approach to adjusting the levels in your audio in your files. However, if you need a utility that will take a file and make all of the components of the file, like if it's an interview or a conference with several speakers or questions and answers, and or even like you said, Dave, articles recorded at different levels. Levelator, which is a free utility that will take all of those different levels and bring them up to the highest level. And it's called Levelator. It is currently available at conversationsnetwork.org. However, that version requires drag and drop. There is a sort of a private beta of sorts going on right now, where the Conversations Network folks have agreed and have made an accommodation for us so that it no longer requires drag and drop. Essentially, what you do is you locate your WAV file that you've recorded, you know, using My Computer or Windows Explorer, and you right click, so you can press Shift F10 or the context key, the right Windows key, and then you select Send To, and then you select CN Levelator. It will open your existing WAV file, levelate it for you, and save it as the same name as your file, .output.wav. And that will be your, I guess what we would say, levelated file.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
If you would like it, I did get written permission from one of the developers
Wait, Daryl. Dave, let's do this, because you're going to get barraged with requests for this thing.
Okay.
Let's do this, because we don't want
to
necessarily...
I'd like to receive email. I'd like to fill those on a... I'd like to do that, actually.
Yeah. Okay, well...
I think that's what Norm Lorraine wants done, so...
Okay. All right, so send your request to mainmenu@acbradio.org.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll... You know, we don't want to give out personal ones here. So send your request to mainmenu@acbradio.org, and Daryl will respond to that post haste. But
okay. Jeff, the other thing, Jeff, this is Steve Bauer. The other thing I haven't, I talked to them that they are also looking at another accessibility type option for the next release, which is scheduled officially in mid-November, is that once you actually load the program, then you would press, say, O or F or whatever key they decide, and that will open up a drop-down box or window, and then you go find your file and you highlight it and then press Enter, and then the program will do its thing, and it will give the output file in the same folder where your original file is that you wanted to levelate.
That's what it's doing right now with the right-click option, Steve, is the file is created in the same directory.
But
this way you're not going to have to do the right-click and do all that. You'll just be able to load Levelator and then press whatever hotkey they designate, and then go to your file and press Enter, and it will be done that way
but
as
Darryl,
well.
I think
they're trying to get that accessibility feature up and going as well.
I was told, Steve, that what they want to do, because we kind of had a little bit of a negotiation type thing as to how to handle this. And what he said, I've been talking to the UI designer over there, and what he said, what he told me was, and this of course certainly may have changed in the last couple of days, that's certainly within the realm of possibility, but what he told me was that the very next release will include the right click functionality, and then shortly after that, then we'll have this additional ability to open a file, as you suggest, because I know you and I and I know Tim and maybe a couple of others had written the Conversations Network, and a shortcut was definitely one of the requests. So, stay tuned for even better things. But for what the Levelator does, as far as I'm concerned, hey, you know.
Good stuff.
That right-click is good enough for me.
It saves a lot of post-production time. I mean, you can do the same thing in GoldWave or SoundForge, but it'll take you a lot longer, especially if you've got a lot of different adjustments to make.
You know, we are
same
running
Studio Recorder. You can adjust levels up and down and do all that, but
yes.
Oh, this is going to save me a huge amount of time, so I'm going to try to get my hands on Daryl's beta copy as soon as I can.
Don't worry, Steve. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
We love you, buddy. Anyway, we're running.
You know, something that people that we haven't mentioned yet in the new version of GoldWave that I think is kind of cool, because I never liked some of his keystroke assignments too well. Well, now with 5.22, you can reassign a whole bunch of the keystrokes. You can truly have one-touch recording in that program now. You change the record key to R if you want to, and it's kind of nice.
Now that brings up a really good point, Dean, and I knew this, and I wanted to ask you about it. For those of you who have played with the new GoldWave, can you adjust the editing capability of GoldWave to match the Windows key, the Windows key mapping?
Not quite. No, you can't. Near as I can determine, you can't like select sound with the shift arrow keys and that kind of stuff. You still are those keystrokes. I don't think have changed. You're still using markers to set the selection. The only difference is now it's much more accessible. It's much easier, much more pleasant to move those markers around than it was before.
Okay, good.
What you can do, Jeff, and I have played with this. I don't know if Dean has played with this, but you can also, the cursor actually, it used to be you had to set markers, but you can actually move the cursor now in GoldWave. So, for example, you can set, if you go into GoldWave's View menu, you can set it, say, to 10 seconds. And so you can either jump ahead in a file by 10 seconds by using, I think it's your page down key, or you can jump a second, or you can jump a tenth of a second. So you really have a lot more mobility in a file. And the same thing, you can jump either a minute or, 6 seconds. You have a lot more mobility in a file in jumping in smaller increments and just moving through the file quickly than having to figure out, well, if I want to jump 5 minutes ahead, I've got to go into the edit box and type in, five colon whatever. So that is a nice feature. Have you played with any of those features, Dean?
Yeah, I haven't quite figured out how the left and right arrows are supposed to do things, and I haven't been able to make them do anything. But the page up and page down do, and indeed, Whereas before, you know, the relation in that program with, you know, you'd set the zoom level and it didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. You'd say 10 seconds or whatever it said, but it didn't really equate to anything. Now it seems like it really does. If you set the view level for a minute, the page, I don't remember now how it works precisely, but the page up and page down key will move you designated amounts. The shift left and shift right control for the start marker and control shift and control shift left and right keys will move you a very predictable amount. So it's really much nicer.
Now, Rick, I know you have a wonderful GoldWave tutorial. And I know, Tim, you've done quite a bit of tutorial work on GoldWave as well. Might we see a I shouldn't be asking this on the air, but I will anyway. Might we see some updates from either one of you in reference to a more extensive podcast or feature on all of the new features? Or, hey, we might even see one from Sound Computing Magazine, right, Dean?
We might, although Sound Computing tends to go in fits and starts, and since I'm kind of playing around with career changes, it's definitely not in a start these days.
gotcha. Okay. And Tim or Rick?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd like to do some updates because one of the recent updates that I did, I think the last one I did, has now become irrelevant. So I guess I have to redo it because
it's
a lot easier now.
We've run. You may want to go listen to Rick Harmon's GoldWave series because he's done. Although you already know all the stuff, but it might help you in reference to maybe just doing an addendum, maybe.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Because we've run them on Main Menu, is what I'm saying. We've run.
Yeah, Rick's, and I've listened to. I've got his whole series here, and it's very good. So I'm sure he'll.
It was
be,
excellent.
I can't speak for him, but I'm sure he'll be doing. Yes, I'm sure he'll be doing some updates as well. But
yeah Rick,
there's a lot.
Go ahead
of,
and speak for Rick. He doesn't mind.
Yeah, like he said.
Go ahead and commit, Rick. He doesn't mind at all, right,
well,
Rick?
Well, I would just like to say, once again, as I've said, before, as an accessibility evangelist, unless there's unless there's something you need, just keep in mind, everyone, that the GoldWave folks are listening.
Absolutely, we did invite Chris on, and as Tim had suggested, he says, "Well, I'll let the product speak for itself, and I'm not really a media guy." And I can sort of get that, programmer guy.
And I'll probably be switching now. Are they still offering a trial edition of that?
Yes.
And what is that?
Yeah.
21 days, isn't it, guys?
It's free. I mean, it counts your keystrokes, and after a certain number of keystrokes, does that still work that way?
150 per session.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I wonder what it costs now, because, the dollar's not doing too good against the Canadian dollar.
It's around... Yeah, it's between $40 or $50, and the thing is, I mean, the nicest thing about it is, I mean, all updates are free.
Since I think when
I went to 5.0, I think I had to buy a new license, but since then, I mean, we're up to version 5.2.2 now, so,
you can't beat it.
No.
And he needs to learn to increment his numbers.
Of Studio Recorder and SoundForge, the fact that everybody who deals with it says that SoundForge is going kind of backwards, both in terms of its, back in the good old days, you could, Neil Ewers could call his good buddies at Sonic Foundry on the phone and have a nice intimate conversation. That doesn't happen with Sony Media anymore.
Yeah.
And I really think, given the price and given, that good, respectful dialogue with Chris Gregg could yield some very fruitful results, and I think that people voting with their pocketbooks a good idea with GoldWave.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious, what file formats can you work in with GoldWave?
Name it.
You can work WAV, MP3, Ogg Vorbis,
WMA.
WMA.
Yeah.
FLAC.
FLAC. Yeah. Pretty much any format you want, almost. I mean,
the Apple formats.
Yeah.
All kinds of
it'll reach, MVA.
Hey, I wonder if GoldWave would work on Jesse's Mac.
MAVE.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
I know.
That'd be interesting. We'll have to find out. So, hey, I wanted to touch, and I know, and I know I asked Dean to talk a little bit about Total Recorder. Unfortunately, we're running really, really close on time. But I wanted Dean, if you would, to address this concern of Total Recorder and Windows Vista.
I don't have a great understanding of it. The deal is that Vista, and some of the other people can fill in better, it controls your sound card in such a way that unless you can manually substitute a program for a particular file format, I think the bottom line is you can't record, you can't use Total Recorder to record any real media streams in Windows Vista. I think that's the deal, because you can find substitute programs to play MP3 and WAMA files, and so you can probably still record those, but you can't record real media files in it with Vista because of some of the limitations that Microsoft has put on sound editing, and you know, in addition to which, there's other recording limitations in there too, as I understand it. It's, you know, the good old days of mixer and you hear is kind of a thing of the past with sound cards with Vista, and that's why Replay AV has apparently come through and has made that all possible nowadays. I haven't yet got Vista, so I haven't played with it, but I understand that pretty much works.
Rick, have you played with Replay AV and Vista?
No, I haven't yet, but I can sure attest to what Dina said about the rest of it. You know, Vista bad.
Well, very bad. You remember when we had Bill? Remember when we had Bill on from Appleon, and he was saying that a lot of sound cards are not even going to let you, you know, do any type of
can't
recording.
Do anything.
At all because of the DRM restrictions. So. Yeah, and you know, for the price difference between or Total Recorder and Goldwave, spend the extra $10 and get a really good, you know, audio editor, because that's really what it sounds like to me, especially if you're going to Vista, is that Total Recorder basically becomes just a little mini audio editor.
I feel bad for that because that's another company that they've answered. They would answer tech support questions. They worked on accessibility issues. So, you know, if they can overcome their Vista problems somehow or other, they're a company that's also worth supporting. But if they can't, I mean, they're going to have other problems besides lack of accessibility.
Well, let's hope that High Criteria does end up, you know, being able to fix all that. Well, guys, we've run out of time, and I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight, and it's been a pleasure. We need to do this topic again, because we've just touched the surface, and we're going to try to get something done with the new Goldwave in reference to a more complete audio description of it on Main Menu as soon as we can. Next week, where our attempt is to cover all things Leopard in reference to the new operating system from the Mac. And so if any of you who are listening out there are using Leopard or know of people, get a hold of us, mainmenu@acbradio.org. We'd love to hear from you on that topic, and we're doing some research on pulling some guests together for that. So that's kind of what we're planning for next week's show. Anyone have any last-minute comments before we end the show here? Daryl?
I'm amazed we all didn't. We all got words in and didn't all stumble over each other. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we did all
and
right
Skype
tonight.
Skype did not drop anyone this time at all.
No, Skype, good Skype. Yeah, praise the Skype tonight.
And my internet connection has been much better lately.
Oh, indeed it has, indeed, yeah.
So, well, I hope those of you who want the Levelator will write mainmenu@acbradio.org and be glad to get that out to everyone.
Keeping in mind that it is a beta, and
yeah, all the good caveats apply.
Exactly, it's a beta, so keep that in mind, and it should be a lot. I haven't played with it myself.
Play your own risk.
Exactly, but it's probably relatively safe. Worst thing it could do is corrupt your WAV file, right?
That's right.
There you go. All right,
keep a copy. Back things up.
There you go.
Absolutely, you got to keep a copy.
Absolutely,
that's a mandatory rule.
Absolutely. Back up, everybody. All right, we'll see all of you next week. If everyone here can hang on just a minute, we'll be right back with you. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week on Main Menu Live.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.